Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 110.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. And as always, we're going to kick off with the review of the week. This one comes from... Yagara Matt.
Sorry if I said that. Random iTunes names. Like,
my favorite thing about the iTunes names is that most of them sound like everyone's first email address.
Like that old Yahoo, like Kelly J 2009512 exclamation mark.
Yeah, or like Grumpy Man 24. And you're like, sure. So the review is, these two share great topics and their relatable perspectives with the utmost respect for each other. Isn't that nice? Aww. I really liked that bit. They do every topic great justice. I love stockpiling a few episodes so I can binge listen on road trips. Thank you for creating content for the rest of us to enjoy.
Oh, thank you very much, Yagara Matt. And it's funny because just today I was reflecting on mine and Carly's friendship and you know, I was kind of like, I wonder why we work so well together on this podcast. And because, you know, this is how my brain works. Like, I just think all the time. I came back to respect, and, you know, I'm not going to speak for Carly, but I know I have had such a high level of respect for how she goes about things for so long. And so being able to work with you on this show has only compounded that, Carl. And I know you are absolutely dying right now.
Totally dying.
Don't even know how to respond to that. So I'm going to save you by going straight into Carly's random thing of the week. I know you appreciate my kind words, and I'm not going to make you like die further. So go, Carly.
But I'm just going to reciprocate really quickly before I move on, and I love you too.
And thank you.
So random thing of the week. Oh my God, Kelly, you've really set me up now. Like, my random thing of the week is so stupid.
No, it's amazing. It's like the most you thing ever.
It's so dumb. Oh my God. Now we've just shared this lovely moment of like mutual respect and being like, yeah, you know, I really love what you've done in your career and you're great and working with you is amazing. And now, okay, so my random thing for the week is what I call the cheese ritual. So Ben and I, we call it snack cheese, and that basically means that you go to the fridge and get like one of those like, you know how you get the pre-sliced cheese and it's in a stack? So you go to the fridge and get a piece of cheese, and then you get a piece of snack cheese for the other person. And I have no idea where this came from, but if you get snack cheese for the other person, when you go back to the person who asked for the snack cheese, we have to touch it to the other person's face, like on their forehead, their nose, chin, and then each cheek, kind of like you're anointing them with the sign of the cross. And then you put the piece of cheese in their mouth when you're done. And if you get handed a piece of cheese in our house without the other person doing the cheese ritual, you have to remind them to do the cheese ritual. So it's
to anoint you really weird with the cheese.
To anoint you properly with the cheese, and then you have to accept the cheese into your mouth like it's the body of Cheese Christ. Was that offensive? I shouldn't have tied it to Catholicism in any way, shape, or form.
Totally echoes that. And it's hard to escape.
But also, I can't, with no disrespect to the Catholic Church, because I went to a Catholic high school, but that's the only way I can describe it on a podcast without, unless I record a video of us doing it.
Which you're now going to have to do, by the way, and you're going to have to post it on Instagram. But honestly, I cannot wait for you and Ben to be parents, because your kid is going to be the sweetest, funnest life, honestly. But I too have a random thing of the week this week, because like everyone has to agree with me here. Like, we have been binge watching that Netflix show Nailed It, which is that show where like these hot, you know, people who have no baking skills whatsoever. So this is why I identify with those people.
It's such a great premise for a show.
It is amazing. Like, they are given these ridiculously difficult cakes and cupcakes and all kinds of random things to try and emulate, and like, they just are so far off the mark, and it's so hilarious. But anyway, it's hilarious really only because of the show's host. And I had to text Carly the other day, and I'm like, who does Nicole Byers remind me of? Like, is it you? I think it's you, because, okay, so She has curly hair. She talks with her whole body, like, which is what Carly does. And, you know, she just holds the room and she is funny. And I just feel like if Carly ever got her own TV show, like, this is how she would host it. And I just, we need to make this happen. Or at the very least, we need to find a way to do a live show before your baby is born, because people need to see the full you. Like,
I could just be a huge disappointment, Kelly. No, you never know.
I don't think so.
But also, if you're wondering what my mannerisms are like, just watch Nailed It. I am that chick. Because I wrote back to Kelly and I was like, yeah, it's me. I'm the white girl version of her.
That, yeah, it was amazing. You never know when you're comparing people to someone whether they're going to be like, no, that's totally not me. But Carly was like, it's me.
Oh, my God, it's totally me, and I'm flattered as anything. True. Like, the amount of times people mistake me for Annabelle Crabb is ridiculous. Oh,
that would be amazing. I would die to be mistaken for Annabelle
Crabb. And I'm just like, I'm so not her, but thank you.
Cool. All right. On to recommendation of the week. And so mine is going to be hugely local and then thus pretty much useless to all listeners of this show. But, you know, the general concept applies. You'll be able to find this somewhere. So the Fresh Provisions store near us has these poke bowls, P-O-K-E. And so they have like kind of brown rice and shredded cabbage and some kind of protein, like, you know,
they're
salmon.
So good.
Oh my God. It's just like, the icing on the cake of this poke bowl is this nut based dressing it has, which I need to analyze and figure out how they've made it because, I'm just obsessed with these poke. You know, when I find something I like eating that is fresh and doesn't, you know, it fills you up without making you feel like blah, and is good, you know, is healthy, I just go hard until I get so sick of it, I never want to see it again. So I'm eating these things like every single day at the moment at 12.
Sorry, Kelly, are you saying you're a creature of habit? That just does not speak true to me at all.
So it's costing me like $12 a day, and I probably could just figure out, like, I could just look at the ingredients in the bowl and make the thing myself, which I guess I will do at some stage. But anyway, it's just the perfect lunch. And, yeah, if you too have these poke bowls at a local fresh provision store, I highly recommend them for you too. So there you go.
Just on that note, I am rubbish at recreating dressings and things because I don't know what things taste like.
The only thing I know is that this thing has – if it has nuts in it, that is – and it's not dairy in any – like it looks dairyish and it tastes dairyish, but it has no dairy. So
interesting. Well, that's a good clue because I've like sat at tables before and eaten something and been around foodies that have tried to reverse engineer what's in the food and someone will be like, oh, I can taste lemon. And the other one's like, oh, there's some rosemary in it. And I'm like, yeah, guys, food. Like I have no idea. So yeah, good luck recreating.
Yeah, exactly.
So my recommendation is a thing called FroPro. I actually have – I would like for people to figure out what this is before I tell you what it is. So if you've got a guess, let us know. But it's
it
a low-carb
like hair product, just quietly.
Yeah,
like,
it does actually.
Like from coming to America with that guy, like used to have to do something with his afro. Like,
yeah, and I do have a white girl fro. So,
so there you
that's, go. Yeah. So it's a low carb, low sugar ice cream. And so I haven't had ice cream for over a year since going sugar free. And I do try to go low on the artificial sweeteners, but occasionally if I really feel like ice cream, I've been having this stuff and it's pretty bloody good. I do have to go easy on the artificial sweeteners because they give me headaches and, you know, you shouldn't have heaps of anything, you know, when you're pregnant. But yeah, it's really good. And they've got a salted caramel flavor and a chocolate flavor that tastes like Milo.
Okay,
it's totally really, really good, and you can get it at Woolies.
Okay, noted. Is it dairy free? No,
I don't think so. No.
Okay, it's more noted.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a low carb bar, but in ice cream form. Right. I've been waiting my whole life for this, by the way. It's the one thing because I've been low carb for 15 years, and it's the one thing you could never get was low carb ice cream.
Yep.
And now someone's finally done it. And I'm like, thank you, artificial sweetener, low carb gods.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, on to our next segment, which is our If You Were Our Best Friend. And Carly has just a little bit of a side note for us, guys.
Oh, I do have a side note. So this is something I discovered the other day. So I like to watch, like, weird shows about polygamists and also, like, people who have shit tons of children and that kind of thing. And I was really into Octomom when she was a thing. Oh, right. I don't know why. It's just a whole thing. If anybody ever watched – it was called, like, 19 Kids and Counting, and it was a family called the Dugars, and they were just this American family, and they had 19 children. Mm-hmm. It was insane. But all of the Dugars have J names.
Oh, every totally single one. Do. Yes.
Yeah. So I was like, that is an amazing untapped resource for J names. We'll just have to work our way through. And that's 19 episodes, Kelly, of J names.
The rest of the year sorted.
In the one family with Dugars. So
we
actually
totally
we
have
to
work
be-
through the Dugar family as of now, as of next episode.
I'm just at Dugar at the end of it as well. So like Jason Dugar.
Jason. That's a good J name.
Have we not used Jason?
No. Noted. Okay. Okay. So this one's from Jolene. And again, I will let you read because I'm rubbish at reading long things.
So Jolene says, I've had chronic pain for over a year and it prevents me from doing almost all exercise save a simple walk. I've seen a ton of doctors and healers and have regular physical therapy, but there's no definitive time when I might be healed. Before I keep going, I'm just going to say that fucking sucks. Yeah, and it's totally really awful. People who live their life in chronic pain are heroes and it's awful. Before I was injured, I loved exercising with my friends and partner, but now I can't exercise anymore. I find myself feeling jealous and sad when my friends' partner share their exercise stories / new muscle gain / chats about the girls at the gym with me. I want to support my friend. Sorry, that just skipped. Oh man, I totally screwed it up. And Kelly's like, you do it because you're better at it. And I'm like, sorry, I just hit something on here and it went away. Okay, sorry. I want to support my friend and partner and I genuinely am excited for them. So I feel nervous to ask them not to tell me about these things, but I end up feeling sad, lonely, jealous, and isolated, even though I know healing is a process and that it's completely okay that I can't exercise like them. Also, I'm sure it doesn't help that I don't know anyone else who has chronic pain like me, the kind that affects me every day, but is invisible to the outside world if I keep a big enough smile on. Could you give me some advice on how best to navigate this situation and feel less crappy?
Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
I asked this question in our Facebook group with Jolene's permission because I wanted to hear from other people who have that very invisible chronic pain, which, as Carly said, I think is horrible, and can't even imagine what it's like to deal with that every day. So there were lots of great responses in the group. And if you are in the same boat as Jolene, or if you have friends with chronic pain, and you don't really know how to be sensitive to them, just search chronic pain and that conversation will come up. My advice for Jolene is I think you just need to be honest with your partner and friends and let them know that while you are totally thrilled about their fitness games, it is difficult for you if all conversations center around that topic because you can't really contribute to it. And it's also a bit of a painful reminder of what you can't do. And it's a difficult one because then you kind of feel the need to emphasize it. It's not like you can't ever talk about it, but, there's just a little bit of a limit. And if they're sensitive people, they will understand that, it's a bit like, if I have kids and my friend doesn't, I'm not going to never talk about my kids to her, but I'm also not going to that's going to be the only thing I ever talk about to her as well. So yeah, I think if you just make, because they probably wouldn't even have an idea, as you say, a lot of chronic pain is invisible and they just don't realize how it's affecting you. And maybe if they just had an inkling, they'll just watch themselves, and even if they just go, oh, well, yeah, we've been talking about that for like 10 minutes now, let's move on to a different topic. And just to show you that, they realize there's a line and they're getting close to it. So, and I think.
Yeah, I had the exact same response. I think it's perfectly okay to be honest about your needs when it comes to those conversations. And I don't think it's a big ask to get your friends to fitness brag to other people for a while. Just bookend that with saying, I love to hear about this stuff, but maybe if you stop telling me how amazing you feel, that would be awesome. I do think a little bit that it is kind of obvious though. Like I can't imagine fitness bragging to a mate who has chronic pain. And I am the type of person who would fitness brag, like because I'm very into fitness and I enjoy it and I reach milestones and like talking about it. But, if I had a friend who had just been in a car accident, I'm not going to be like, hey, I won the local thing at my gym last week. Like that would not be information that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it's hard when people, like, they forget sometimes, and you know, if you've been injured for a while, because yeah, I'm like you, and I think, I guess I come from a sporting background, so I know, like, there's nothing worse than being injured and having someone telling you about how the great race that they just had, and it's something we've always, like, my friends and I have always been quite aware about. So, but yeah, I think Jolene, yeah, if she just highlights it as something, people will realize. And yeah, it is very easy when you present quite normally to the world. Like, you're not walking around. I think also with injuries, like, people with injuries can make it quite obvious that, you know, oh, my knee. Whereas when you have chronic pain, you can mask it quite well. And so people do forget sometimes. So yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's not quite as obvious as something along the lines of, you know, talking about how amazing your marriage is to your friend who just got divorced. I mean, like, no one's going to do that because that's a really obvious thing. But people who do have chronic pain become very, very good at hiding it. And I think people do forget.
Yeah, agreed.
I hope that helped, Jolene. And I'm really, really sorry. And I hope that you can get back on your feet and exercise again soon. Particularly, you sound like the type of person who really needs that exercise. So I, you know, sending all my positive wishes this week to getting you back into the gym.
Yeah, agree.
So our topic for the week is the four burner theory. So when Kelly and I first started this podcast, it was generally based around one movement or hack that we would try and then report back on. We've had a few people say, oh, I really miss that format. It worked for a while, but there just weren't enough well-known movements that most people would know enough about. So we do those kind of things just when they pop up now rather than sort of every single week. But this week is very similar to the original format, which is there's a four burners, like there's a theory that you can apply to your life and see how it works and, you know, see the different ways that you can implement that into your life and if it has a positive effect or a negative effect. So this week we're talking about the four burners theory. So one way to think about work-life balance issues is with a concept known as the four burners theory. So here's how you kind of explain it. So you need to imagine that your life is represented by a stove and the stove has four burners on it and each burner symbolizes one major quadrant of your life. So the first burner is your family. This isn't in order, by the way. This is just burners. So one burner represents your family. One burner is your friends. Another burner is your health, and the last one is your work. So the four burners theory says that in order to be successful, you have to cut off one of your burners. And in order to be really successful, you have to cut off two. So the theory is that you only ever have 2 to 3 burners on at any one time. Which I don't hate this theory. I think it's very sound and I think there's some good stuff in it because, I think having a singular focus as often as possible works really well. We did an episode not that long ago on multitasking and single tasking and how Kelly and I both struggle with single tasking. But it makes sense to do it, even though it's really hard. It is actually better in the long run. So we've got a few topics for discussion. The very first question is, can you survive with all four burners running? What do you think, Kel?
You can definitely survive. But I think.
But can you thrive?
No, I don't think so. And because I've tried it, of course. Because, you know, the level to which they can burn depends on what kinds of success you're chasing. So I'll take, for example, you know, the level of success that Ant and I chase together as a partnership. I would say that our success or the success we're chasing is to be able to create financial security for our family, but by doing work that we enjoy. And what I've found over the years is we've had points where we were achieving that level of success without having to use, you know, without that work burner having to be turned up full bottle. At which point, so what I'm saying is we had a little bit of a lull or a little bit of a consolidation period. And at which point, you know, then we could turn up the health one or the turn up the friends one. But the reality is, like, because that's our primary focus, financial security for our family, when the work burner has to be turned up full ball, health and, you know, health and family get turned right down, or health and, not health and family, health and friends get turned right down. And I think the reason we get away with it a little bit sometimes, a lot of people tend to turn off health as the first thing. Because we come from elite sporting backgrounds, I think it's easier for us to turn health right down but still maintain a very good baseline of health. So we can afford to turn that burner down when things get crazy, but the thing we do tend to turn off is the friends one. So can you survive with all burners running? I feel yes you can, but you're not surviving. You're surviving, not thriving. And the whole thing behind the four burners theory is it's success driven. So if you're aiming for success in a certain thing, the four burners theory says you cannot have all of these going at the same level at all times. If you want to achieve that success, you have to turn some of them off. So, yeah.
I completely agree. And I'm identical to Kelly. I feel like I manage all of my burners quite well. Friends is my first one that gets turned off every time, unfortunately.
I would love to hear in the group from someone who says, like, I'd love to get a ranking of them and see if anyone has friends as not the last one. Is that bad? I think
friends was very high for me when I was in my early 20s and also before Ben and I became a family.
Yeah, right.
So we were definitely, I mean, even though, you know, we're having a baby, Ben has been my family for years and would have continued to be my family should we have chosen to not have children. So that kind of, we switched into family mode and he became a bigger priority.
Yeah.
I would say that at different times in my life, friends has been a much higher priority than it is now. I think my thing is that, like, friends still get airtime. I think I'm very lucky though, because my family and friends are pretty low maintenance at the moment, which I think helps a lot. My health and work aren't low maintenance, which is probably why they get the most attention. But also the thing with health is that I never turn that off because I have found a sustainable way to keep that running all the time. So I always eat healthy. And that took work. Like, that took a lot of work. And that, like, that, the health burner for me during that time of finding the best way to exercise and eat well, and get my sleep in, that burner would have been burning very brightly for that time. But now that I've nailed that system, it's not a huge priority. And I mean, like, I would never turn that burner off, but I can turn it right down.
You can turn it right down. Yeah. I think, I was going to say, like, I think that's a really crucial point, because I do think the health burner is so, so important. But the reality is, at certain times in life, like, you just can't give it the attention it needs. But the problem is, what most people do at that those times is they just turn it off. And I always say to people, it's much easier to maintain good health than it is to regain good health. And so,
absolutely.
I really feel that what you've done in creating a system for yourself that is, you know, a nice baseline system that you can execute in an ongoing fashion, no matter what crazy stuff is going on in your life, I do think that's something people need to aim for, especially, you know, in the context of this theory. So,
I completely agree. So the next point for discussion is, which burner is the most important, and is it the same for everyone? So I have and will continue to prioritize my health over almost anything. I value it way too much, and if I don't put that at the top of my list, everything else sucks. Having said that, though, I do have the option, because I've spent so much time prioritizing that burner, I do have the option to turn it right down. And I don't think that you can do that lightly. I don't think you can jump into a exercise and fitness plan for 8 weeks and then turn that burner down, because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need to solidify that as being a priority in your life, probably for a few years before you can play with that burner, if I'm going to be honest about it. So I can now put my family above that burner, but back in the day, I couldn't, because if I compromise my health, then I suck anyway. So my health routine is really locked down, and it just requires 1 hour of exercise per day and a simple, healthy diet. So it's not hard to be a good partner to Ben and a good business owner and a good friend without compromising that. And I'm sure things are going to change later in the year when I have a baby. But I'm planning on honoring my health as much as I possibly can, when I'm a mother. And I think, you know, as a mother yourself, Kelly, you do the same thing as much as possible, in maintaining your health without compromising your family.
Yeah, I agree. Because, health is very important to me, but I've found that baseline level a while ago, so I know exactly same as you. I know exactly what I need to do, exactly how I need to eat. I've set up my life to facilitate those things. Like, I don't have to work to make them happen. I set those habits in place, and I, you know, I don't do things like going to bed late at night, so that therefore I can get up early in the morning and do what I need to do to get my exercise in. So while health is important to me, I don't have to focus on that burner. I don't have to keep it burning brightly. I don't have to turn it up and turn it down. I can just keep it simmering away. So our number one burner is family, for sure. Both Ant and I, we're very driven to be highly available to our children, both emotionally and physically. So, you know, it's one thing to be around your kids all the time, but if you can't, you know, if you're vague, and which I am given to being, vague and distracted and in your head, you're not really any good to them. So I work really, really hard to be emotionally available to my kids as well as like around them. And sometimes, to be honest, I think we make Ant and I make ourselves too available to our children just quietly. They have no idea how good they've got it. And then work comes second for us. One, because like we've always loved working. I don't know if it's because we love security so much. So working is a like pathway
to
security.
It's a real chicken egg situation.
Yeah. There. But we've always enjoyed working, and I guess we found our way to doing things we quite like. But yeah, work's the second kind of major burner for us. And then, yeah, unfortunately, and then health, we get to simmer away. And unfortunately, friends is the burner we turn off the most, because those other things, it's not like friends aren't important to us, but the other things are far, far bigger drivers for us. So yeah, that's it with me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same, because I nailed my health burner ages ago. That puts me in a good position to prioritize my family burner, which is Ben, but also because we're on the same page, we protect our work burners as well, because we enjoy our work and it allows us to have the security that we want in our lives and doing work that we enjoy as well. So yeah, it's not so much a what's the top burner, it's more like friends is the lowest burner, which sounds mean, our friends get that.
Yeah, because I think most people, like, I think we tend to hang around with people who have similar values, so we're driven by similar things. I'm not saying that our values are right or wrong. I'm just saying we tend to hang around with people who are driven to be good to their families first and foremost, and to provide their families with financial security, and then everything else kind of, you know, is a bonus from there. So, and so that just means you, your friends aren't holding you going, oh my God, I can't believe you're deprioritizing us, because they're doing the same to you, basically.
This is actually an interesting thing from the last episode that we recorded. I think that in terms of having successful friendships, you need to find people who are burning their friend burner at the same level that you are.
Yeah.
Because I think if someone has their friend burner off and you've got yours blazing, that's not going to work. If you both have your friend burner blazing, that's awesome. And if you both have your friend burner off or low, then that's going to work just as well.
Yeah. No, I like that theory. I like that theory very much.
Actually, oh my God, I just totally unlocked a whole extra bit of this, because it's the same with family. Like if you have your family burner burning and your partner has the family burner on low, that's going to create conflict.
Yeah, yes. And which does happen, because, you know, quite often a work burner gets like turned right up, and it means to the detriment of everything else. And this is a common conflict in families. So yeah, there you go.
But it's also a common conflict with work. Like if you work with a whole bunch of people whose work burners are off, that's frustrating.
Totally.
You're like, turn your friggin' work burner up, you dickhead. Jesus. So the next point for discussion, is it possible to outsource burners?
I'm not sure that they can be. I think that's what makes the four burners theory so compelling, is that it points out that if you've set your sights really, really high, like, you know, you're trying to make partner in your law firm, because guess what show I watch all the time? Suits. So that's the only example I've got of high, you know, high level, you know, work things. or, you know, you're trying to do your first marathon, or, you know, you want to go live overseas for a year. You're probably going to have to turn two of your burners right down in order to achieve that thing. And I love, the reason I love the four burners theory is because it makes you assess like the worth it consciousness of what you're striving for. So, you know, is this thing that I'm striving for worth alienating, you know, my friends? Is this thing worth never being at home to see your family? And like, you know, if you're training to be an Olympic gold medalist, like, yeah, probably it, you know, is it worth it for you? Like, I might not find it worth it. Other people might not. But if it's worth it for you, then you get to make that choice, but you get to make it quite consciously. So yeah, because you can't outsource any of that, in my opinion. It's all on you. And if you choose to turn any of it down, it's got to be a very conscious, intentional thing. What do you think?
Definitely. I think the only thing you can outsource theoretically is work. So you can't outsource family, health, or friends. But I think that things that we've discussed in the past, like hiring a cleaner or a nanny to help out for a few hours, or hiring an assistant in some way, I think that can help you to turn your work burner down a little.
That's true. That's true.
But like all the other ones, no. Like, how do you outsource family?
How do you outsource friendship?
But can you just love my kids for a sec? That'd be ace. So another point for discussion is, can you turn burners on and off all day?
I think this requires an extreme ability to compartmentalize, which some people I know do have this. Ant actually has this. Ant's very good at compartmentalizing. I don't compartmentalize. I bleed everywhere. Like, everything bleeds into each other. I cannot put things in boxes. So yeah, I think it could work. And I think probably this is actually something that has worked for Ant, but does not work for me. And I think you're a bit like Ant in that regard. So
I think I am. So I feel like I can burn my health burner in the morning when I'm at the gym, and then turn my work burner on during the day, and then turn that off, and then turn my family and friends burner on again at night. And if you're only ever burning one burner at a time, for example, not texting family when you're at work, or not checking emails when you're at home, that might just be an amazing solution to all our problems if we're able to do that. And I am, because that's sorry. I've actually created my life around compartmentalizing. So every day I have so many different jobs. I do different things every day. And so, for instance, right now, I've got my work burner on because we're recording the podcast. I'm not doing anything else. Well, you can't, like, podcasting is a bad example. It's not like you can do anything else while you're podcasting. But if I've got a client and I work for them all day on a Wednesday, I don't touch any of my other stuff while I'm working for them, because I've got my work burner burning for them, because I want to do a good job for them, because I want to, you know, be able to charge what I charge and justify that and show them that I'm worth their investment. And by burning that burner really bright in the time that I'm working for them, I think that that really works.
Yeah. I love that works for you. I kind of aspire to that a bit, but I also kind of also know, well, you can't fight your type, or if you can fight your type, but it takes so much energy. So yeah, I admire people like you who can compartmentalize, and yeah, and then you can have everything burning brightly.
If you have that available to you, take advantage.
Totally. So final kind of topic in this under the four burners theory is, like, what about burner seasons? Which, you know, is seasons of life thing. And I love the concept of this. And I think this is the most realistic way to come at the four burners. So, you know, Ant and I are going very hard with the family and work burners at the moment. But, you know, one day we'll be able to see our friends again. And I have noticed that friends who have slightly older kids, so, you know, my kids are 5 and 9, people whose kids are like 9 and 12, like, they seem to have a bit more freedom to spend freedom and energy. I think that's the key thing. Like, our kids are still young. They require a lot of physical and emotional energy for us. As I find, when they get to that 9 and 12 age, they, you know, they have different needs, but they take a little bit less energy out of you. And so it just means you've got more energy for, you know, doing things like socializing with friends. But yeah, so right now our weekends are for recharging rather than socializing, but I can see that changing in 2 to 3 years' time.
Yeah, I love the concept of burner seasons. So my friend burner was a much bigger priority in my 20s, and now my family burner is a bigger priority. So my family burner is on hard watch this year, and obviously that's going to be a big priority with lots of changes coming. So I think naturally burners go in and out of seasons. Yeah, this also weirdly relates to our last episode that I was talking about, like making friends as an adult. It's like that theory about, I think it's on Sex and the City where they talk about men being like cabs, like you can only get one if it's lights on.
Okay.
So like men are only, I mean, this is a Sex and the City theory. This is not like a hard and fast thing.
Okay.
But there's this theory that you can only, like, you can only lock a guy down for a relationship if his lights on, like a cab.
Okay.
So it's the same with making friends. Like, you won't be able to make friends as an adult unless their friendship burner is on. Oh, and I think
I like it's that idea. You got to find, yeah, if you're looking for adult to make adult friendships, you need to find people whose friendship burners are turned on. Oh,
exactly. Because if their friendship burner's not turned on, it's just not going to work, which I think actually might be one of the reasons why it is hard to make friends as an adult, because just in our test group of two, neither of us have our friendship burners on.
No, that's it.
And most of my friends don't have their friendship burners on. So I think that would be an interesting conversation to have in the group as well. So kicked ass this week, Kelly.
Okay, so my kicked ass is a book that I'm working on with a client. I'm editing the book for them. It's going really, really well. So they're very thrilled, and they're able to bring a lot of good energy to the project, which is not always the case. Like, sometimes I really have to, like, they hand me the book and they're like, I just don't ever want to see that thing again. And then for me to get stuff out of them is really difficult, but this person's, like, energy levels are high. They're excited about it. It's going really well. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. So yes, that's my kicked ass.
Oh, I also meant to say before we started this episode, I thought that the Americans might get confused when we're saying burner. What we're actually saying is burner.
Burner.
B-U-R-N-E-R is what we're saying. So what you're probably hearing is burner. Yeah, that, I figured that would come up in the group. So my kicked ass this week was I saved $230 because I booked in for my 20-week scan at the imaging place that my doctor recommended. And when I went to book, they said, oh, that'll be $230 out-of-pocket expenses. And I was like, that doesn't sound right, because I knew that all of the scans
– Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, all of the scans and stuff, all the necessary stuff that I have to get done is covered by Medicare.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then I Googled it, and then it turns out that if you just find a bulk billing place and go there instead, then there's no out-of-pocket expenses.
Ew, nice one. Good tip. Yeah,
so that's a tip for people who are currently pregnant in Australia, who are going, I do have health insurance, but we're not using health insurance for my pregnancy because it's there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses that just seem unnecessary because I have such a low-risk pregnancy. So we've made the decision to go public. And also, I live in the catchment area for the Royal Women's Hospital in Melbourne, which is just one of the best hospitals in the country. And I'm like, I want to have my baby at that hospital, and the only way I can guarantee that is by going public. So
I'm going public. Cool.
I know, right? It's crazy. But yeah, so I was a bit miffed at my doctor for not telling me that. But yeah, if you are covered by Medicare in Australia, which you just should be by default, if you are an Australian citizen, just ring around and try and find bulk billing places. I don't actually quite understand how that works.
I don't either.
Yeah, I thought it was really odd, but yeah, I saved myself $230 by finding a bulk billing place.
Nice one. And then kicked our ass. I have to say my graphic design business is kicking my ass. It just it requires too much energy at the moment, and it's taking a lot of energy from my writing work, which is, it sounds a bit lame, but if anyone who's ever written anything knows, like, you need very specific energy levels for writing. Like, you need to be able to think, you need a bit of clear headspace. And the irony of, like, simplifying our business and, or I guess me coming back into it in a fairly major way, has meant, like, the business is flying, but it's taking so much of my energy. And I'm really struggling with anyone. If anyone wants to buy a graphic design business, let me know. Just throwing it out there. So I don't really know what to do about it at the moment. I'm fretting a bit, trying to find the balance and set better boundaries around everything. Cause, you know, I've got writing clients who I want to do a really good job for them. I don't want to do a half good job for them because this is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. But the graphic design, well, they both pay the bills, so I don't know. I'm just in a bit of a funny stuck place at the moment. I just don't know what to do, and I'm going to have to figure it out soon. So, yes, just kicking my ass.
That's a hard one. So my kicking my ass is I'm working with someone at the moment who lacks all common sense and it is unbelievably frustrating.
Oh, my God.
So I'd stop working with her, but she's not one of my employees, so I'm kind of low-key stuck with her for a while. And I can't tell if it's a lack of common sense or a confidence issue, but she just asks like 10 unbelievably basic questions a day. Like I'll ask her to do some research work and she'll email me. I've never actually met her and she has no idea who I am. So she's not going to hear this, but she messaged me and was like, should I use Google or Chrome to do my research? I'm like, I don't care. Just pick one. Like, this is not a question you need to be asking me. It's like, it's this kind of level of question, like 10 times a day. And it's kind of like,
this is why you do everything yourself, isn't it? Like, this is why.
But this is exactly why. Cause I can't handle
this.
Not
saving you time having to answer questions. No.
But also I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah, and this is the thing. When someone asks you something like that, you're kind of like, so sorry, without being mean, guys, sometimes you're kind of like, how do I answer this?
Because exactly, without making you feel like an idiot, but then you're also kind of an idiot. And I'm like, I don't know how to – but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's a confidence thing. Yeah, or just – but it's really – it's like next level. It's really hard stuff. And I mean, like she's quite good once I give her the answers, but it's just like she just can't find the answers herself.
Yeah, and that's –
yeah, and it's things like just to give an example, just say I'm cooking dinner and she'll be like – just I'm getting her to cook me dinner, just not to give away too much information, but she'll be like, oh, okay. So do I wash up the pots and pans as I go or do I wash them all up at the end? I'm like, I don't care.
Whichever
like,
works for you.
Just whatever works for you. And also it ends up in the same result anyway. So why do you need my permission? And I'm finding it really, like really, really tough. So
that would kick my ass as well. Totally.
Yeah. And I hope I didn't sound like a complete asshole, but like I'm very okay with people asking questions. I'd rather people ask questions than fret or feel like they're doing the wrong thing. But these questions are just
a bit
so unbelievably basic that I feel like an asshole giving her
the
answer.
I think that's the problem, is that you feel like a jerk telling them to do something because you're just like, I don't know how to tell you this without sounding patronizing. And I hate being put in that position. So then I get I get irrationally angry when people are like that, because I'm like, you're putting me in a position where I have to like, there's no other way to tell you this without than sounding patronizing. And I hate when people patronize me and you're making me patronize you. And I hate that. So yeah, I feel you. I feel
that's
you.
That's exactly it. Thank you, Kelly. I don't feel like such a bitch now. So that's about it. It's time to wrap up. Don't forget that we have a Patreon page. We have a couple of goals for our Patreon page, and the first of which is to reach $500 per month, and we're slowly but surely getting there. And thank you so much to everyone who is supporting the show. If you would like to support us, you can visit patreon.com/straightandcurly. Every cent helps keep us in your ears every Wednesday morning.
Yes. And finally, do jump into the Facebook group and share your thoughts about this week's show. We look forward to seeing you in there. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.